to make the tree bad and its fruit bad, for a tree is known by its fruit. So we said last week that a tree is known by its fruit, but it's determined by its seed. It's known by its fruit, but it's determined by its seed. And we've asked the question many times, why would Jesus have to say a thing? He would have to say a thing because human beings have the ability to present one thing outwardly and be another thing inwardly. You have the ability to produce the fruit of the Spirit if you've been born again, but then you also have the ability to do the works of the flesh. And when Jesus said to the religious leaders, make the tree good and its fruit good, or the tree bad and its fruit bad, they were bad trees that were trying to mimic or present themselves as having good fruit. And we see the opposite can also be true. God can make us a good tree, but the works of the flesh give the appearance, you know, bad fruit, so to speak, which is not fruit at all. It's the works of the flesh presenting as fruit. We give people and even our own selves the impression that we're something other than what God made us to be. We looked at Psalm 1 where the Bible says we'll be like trees planted by the rivers of water. Jeremiah 17 where he says the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength will be like a shrub in the desert, won't see good when it comes, inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and assault land which is not inhabited. But verse 7, this is us, right? Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose hope is the Lord. He'll be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, will not fear when heat comes. And we even say that sometimes, man, the heat is on. You know, like if we're being pressured by some situation, some outside circumstance, say, man, the heat is on. Well, the Bible says we won't fear when the heat's on. Amen. But its leaf will be green and will not be anxious. Come on now, in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. When's the last time you thanked the Lord for bringing you through COVID? Amen. That was a rough season. Come on now, that was a rough season. I know there are a lot of people, and I'm probably going to offend some folks online or whatever right now. You know, there's a lot of people, I call them COVID deniers, you know. Well, it was just a scam. You know, it wasn't for my next door neighbor. He's with Jesus now because of COVID. You know what I'm saying? So, but God brought us through it, didn't he? And the thing about COVID, even folks that weren't affected by the virus, you know, there was all kinds of financial fallout and just all kinds of ripple effects of it. And yet here we are, amen, still standing, and we thank God for it, amen. And so he goes on to say, the heart's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart, I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. And a lot of people take this verse out of context and they say, you know, that our hearts are still incurably sick and deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. But remember what the prophet Ezekiel said, that there was coming a day when God was going to put a new heart in us and his spirit within us. And that's what he's done. And that's who we are now in Christ Jesus. So then we come to Philippians 2, 12 and 13. Therefore, my beloved, as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So we said that an apple tree works the apples out. They're in it, and the apple works that fruit out. The fruit comes from inside the tree, out of the tree. From inside the tree, out of the tree, and it's an example for you and I to look to and learn from and understand. But now we see that God's put a new heart in us, a new spirit in us. The real you is a spirit. You're a spirit. You have a soul. You live in a body. And then when he put a new spirit in you, you became a temple for which he could now put his Holy Spirit. And notice what he says here, that this God who works in you to work out of you, he works in you to bring things out of you, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. So 1 John 4:4, and these are verses we've commented on extensively. I'm just trying to plant and water these again in your heart. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Have overcome, not will, you have overcome them. Because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. I've shared this brief poem in my book, Becoming a Threat to Addiction, and it's attributed to John Bunyan, but we don't know for sure that he wrote it. But it says, walk and run the law commands, but gives me neither feet nor hands. Better news the gospel brings. It bids me fly and gives me wings. So we see that we're not in that predicament, that situation that we were once in with a desperately wicked heart, deceitful above all things. That's not us anymore. Amen. We're not on the outside looking in trying to live up to something that the law doesn't give us the ability to live up to. We're now in Christ Jesus and he's in us. Amen. We're new creations in Christ Jesus. And we now have the wherewithal to answer the call of God upon our lives. And at the same time, he gives us the ability to take flight. Amen. So again, a tree is known by its fruit, but it's determined by its seed. Now, here's a verse, and however many weeks, I guess months ago now, this was a key verse in this current study that we're in. And it's an amazing verse. It's one that a lot of people choke on. It's one that a lot of people try to explain away. It's one that a lot of people, you know, shake their head at and they don't lean into it. But I'm telling you, my brother, my sister, what this verse says is what this verse means. Whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed, God's seed, remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Now, you'll never understand this passage unless and until you understand you are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in a body. And it's your born-again spirit that was made new. It's your born-again spirit that was made one with God. And the Bible says when he made you new and he made you righteous and he made you holy at the spirit level, spirit dimension of your body, your being, he sealed you with the Holy Spirit. He sealed you with the Holy Spirit. You ever had somebody like cut an onion in half and set it in the fridge without sealing it? And now your vanilla ice cream tastes like onions in the freezer. So you seal things to keep what's in from getting out and what's out from getting in. And so we've described the soul as a valve that if we learn to open our soul to what and who is in our spirit, then it creates a portal. Many, many times when I'm standing right down there before I come up here, I pray this simple prayer. Father, may my spirit, soul, and body become a portal through which your wisdom can flow from eternity into time and space. Okay, I know that's kind of wordy, but that's just what the Lord gave me. I've prayed that prayer for years before I get up in front of people and minister to them. Because I want to be a window. I want to be a gate. I want to be a door. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, amen, and let the King of Glory come in. I want to be a portal, an opening, through which the wisdom of God can flow from his heart, through me, from eternity, into time and space, into this room right here. Are you following what I'm saying? Amen. And so we go back to what he says in 1 John 3:9. I know some people look at this and go, well, I can sin. I sure can sin. I've sinned today. That's the works of the flesh. Paul understood this revelation so deeply that he had the boldness to say in Romans that if he sinned, it was not him who did it. Now see, some people call that denial. He's not denying. I mean, he obviously says if we sin, we should confess our sin and God will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. But that's not to get born again. As a born-again man or woman, your born-again spirit can't sin. It's not just that it doesn't, it can't. It's impossible. Are you following me? But now we've got the soul and we got the body, and those dimensions are a work in progress. Yes, you still follow me? Now, the key thing, and we've taught about that a lot, and if you're just now hearing this verse and it's kind of overwhelming you, amen, obviously all these sermons are recorded free of charge. But what I want to point out is that his seed remains in him. God's seed remains in you. God's seed remains in you. Now, let's go back to it. A tree is known by its fruit, but it's determined by its seed. There are things that the world says that have become things the church says. We ought not talk like the world. And I don't just mean using foul language. We ought not use the wisdom of the world as if it's the wisdom of God. Like, for example, the Bible says, she made her bed, now she can lay in it. Okay? Well, the Bible says if you make your bed in hell, Jesus will come to the hell that you've made for yourself and try to get you out of it. Aren't you glad God doesn't say you made your bed, now lay in it? We might have made the bed, but he's trying to get us out of that bed. How about this one? A leopard can't change its spots. You ever heard that one? Okay. Well, the way you change a leopard's spots is for that leopard to be born again as something that it wasn't before. So that's how God changes us. He doesn't just try to change how we think. He doesn't just try to change what we do. He changed us at the very essence of our being. He changed us at the nature level, the being level of our existence, our born-again spirit. It's where he made us a new creation in Christ Jesus. And as we renew our minds and recondition our minds to the inward reality of the new birth, then guess what? We find out that we're not a leopard after all. You follow what I'm saying? A leopard can't change its spots. Well, we're not leopards. How about this one? Can't teach an old dog new tricks. Yeah, but we're not old dogs. We're not old dogs. Now, if you still think like the old dog you used to be, then you'll still behave like the old dog that you used to be. But you're not an old dog anymore. You're not an old dog anymore. And God's not trying to teach us how to do tricks. He's trying to teach us how to walk in the righteousness and freedom that he made us, that we've become. So a tree's known by its fruit, but it's determined by its seed, known by what it does outwardly, but it's determined inwardly by the seed that it was born from. So whoever's been born of God does not sin, for God's seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he has been born of God. Let me ask you, can God sin? God can't sin. And you've been born of his seed. You are a partaker of his divine nature. At the deepest level of your existence. Are y'all following me? Am I making you nervous? Am I trying to make you nervous? Remember, you got to acknowledge every good thing that's in you. You got to acknowledge every good thing that's in you. Paul spoke of his flesh and his body in the third person. He said, I will not let it rule me. Speaking of his body. He recognized that his flesh wasn't him. That it was his born-again spirit. This is who he truly is. So now, notice it says that God's seed remains in the man or woman who's been born again. It's not just that God's nature is in you, but the seed of God's life that produced that nature abides in you. Now, this may sound a little odd at first, but let's go back to it. The fruit is where? It's in the tree. The fruit's in the tree. The seed's in the fruit. Come on now. And where's the tree? The tree's in the seed. Are you seeing this? All right. So now, the Bible again draws these comparisons between human beings and trees. And so we've been born again from above, from the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Amen. But not only have we been born of that seed's now in us. This may seem odd or hard to comprehend, but it's no different from a tree that has fruit in it, that has a seed in it, that has a tree in it. Amen. So let me see if I can say it this way. The seed that made you who you are remains in you. The seed that made you who you are remains in you. And like a tree, come on now, you were designed to live from the inside to the outside. I made this point last week. I'll make it again tonight. It's impossible to put an apple back in the tree. Doesn't go both ways. It only comes one way. Can't push the apple back in the tree. Now, the same God who put a tree in a seed can put his kingdom in you. I want to just drive a stake in the ground and camp out there for a minute. You are far bigger on the inside than you are on the outside. You remember the, he was from a place called Gadara. He's sometimes called the maniac of Gadara, the demon possessed Gadarene. Jesus cast a legion of demons out of him. I don't know if you've been listening to Southwest Believers, convention. I would recommend it. Amen. 7 days. I don't know how many hours, or 6 days, but it's, you know, morning to night. It's, I don't know how many hours of teaching, but I won't try to go through the whole joke. But Bill Johnson, he was talking about all the animals in the barn at the manger when Jesus was born, and all the different things that the different animals were going to do to help Jesus. And one was going to keep him warm, and one was going to bless him at his, the dove was going to bless him at his baptism, and the cow was going to give him milk, and this and that and other thing. They came to the pig, and the pig said, I'm going to let him cast a bunch of demons in me, and then I'm going to run off a cliff. But that's exactly what happened, right? A legion, we're talking, it's different numbers, but we're talking about like potentially 1,000. I mean, okay, so you think, how could 1,000 demons fit inside one man? You're thinking body. You're thinking body. Again, your spiritual capacity, your spiritual, you know, we like, you know, eat a burrito, a taco, and a quesadilla, and we're stuffed. You know what I'm saying? That's your physical capacity. We're not talking about physical. We're talking about spiritual now. So I'm going to say it again. The same God who can put a tree in a seed can put his kingdom in you. Now, some of you may have never heard these verses, but they're life-changing if you lean into them and embrace them. Luke, and I put them on the same slide because I want you to see them together. Luke chapter 12, verse 32, Jesus speaking, do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Luke 17, 20 through 21. Now, when he was asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, because remember, they're expecting something outward. They're expecting a ribbon cutting ceremony. You ever seen it like the big pair of plywood scissors when they cut the big ribbon and they announce the grand opening? So they're like, okay, when is this kingdom you're talking about? Kingdom this, kingdom that. Everywhere Jesus went, he was talking about kingdom, his kingdom coming. Pray that his kingdom would come. And they're like, okay, you know, tell us exactly when is this kingdom going to launch, right? And Jesus says, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, nor will they say, see here or see there. For indeed, the kingdom of God is where? It's within you. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. We know in Matthew 16 and 19 and Matthew 18 and 18 that in addition to giving us the kingdom, he's given us the keys to the kingdom that's in us. Amen. So the same God, I feel like I'm getting over some of your heads. Come on now. We made a statement on Sunday. This may be over your head, but it's not over your heart. Don't try to rationalize it and make sense of it mentally or logically, but embrace it by faith. And again, remember, you've got to acknowledge every good thing that's in you. And among the wonderful, many wonderful good things that God's put in you, he has put his kingdom in you. You think, how could the kingdom of God fit inside of me? How could an oak tree fit inside an acorn? And that's just a physical example. Now, notice what he says about this in Romans 14 and 17. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not taking this out of context. Let me give you the context. The context is the dietary laws of the Old Testament. And people believe that the only way you could be right with God is if you obeyed those laws. And that if you ate anything that the law of Moses said was unclean, you would be unclean before God. You would be out of step with God, out of sync with God. And so they put so much emphasis on what they ate or didn't eat or what they drank or didn't drink. Are you with me? So he says, the kingdom of God is not about what you eat or don't eat or what you drink or don't drink. But the kingdom of God is about righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Now that's the context. But remember, we're talking about the multi-layered wisdom of God. And so I think we look at the big picture. Eating and drinking speaks to things from the outside being taken in. But righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit speak to inward realities that God wants to bring out. Again, do you see the difference here? He's made us good trees. Now he wants to bring good fruit out from our lives. Oh, come on now. We got to get a hold of this. I know you because I know me. You know, we look for quick fixes to things. We look for, you know, easy way out. And in some ways, you know, I believe God gives us. The Bible says that God will give you the ability to get wealth, and he will give you these ideas of witty inventions. And you know, in our economy here in the United States, I know some people rail against capitalism, but you know, the financial incentive to develop products that make life better and easier and more convenient and all that. And listen, I'm not saying all that is bad or wrong by any stretch of the imagination. But when we really get down to it, the ways of God are agricultural. The ways of God involve preparing soil, your heart, planting good seed, the word, watering that seed, nurturing that seed, protecting that seed from being choked out by the desires of other things, deceitfulness of riches or the cares of this life. But watching that seed produce, and here's a big word like mayonnaise, exponential benefit and results in your life. Some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Now, when we talk about God's ways being the ways of agriculture, that doesn't mean you gotta wait 30 years for there to be fruit. My dad planted some pecan trees and he nurtured them and took care of them and did what they said to do around. But it was years before there was any pecans on those trees. Are you following what I'm saying? I'm not trying to imply that, but as long as we're relying upon the quick fixes of this world without ever really wanting to put down roots in the Word of God and being like that tree planted by the rivers of water and doing what it takes to become established in grace and established. The Bible says it's a good thing for the heart to become established in grace. What is the opposite of the heart being established in grace? The opposite of the heart being established in grace is the heart being established in works, in thinking that your right standing with God is dependent upon what you've done for God lately. Versus submitting yourself to the gift of righteousness that he's given to you. Are you following me? So the Bible says that we should bring, John the Baptist, even all the way back in those days, he said, bring forth fruits of righteousness. And that's what we are ultimately longing for. But so many times we're trying to find shortcuts and quick fixes and the disciples will say, Lord, increase our faith. And Jesus will say, you got enough faith to move a mountain into the ocean. You say, well, okay, well then why weren't they moving mountains into the oceans? Because they hadn't put roots down in the Word of God yet. Because they were still looking to money for their answers instead of God. When the heat was on, they didn't turn to God. They turned to lack and we ain't got no food and how are we going to starve to death today? Are you seeing this? So the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not about, I'm not railing against medication. It's not about here, take this pill. God's answers for all types of emotional problems and issues in our lives. Are you following me? Please love me after I say this. His answers aren't medication. I'm not saying, I don't tell people to take medicine. I don't tell people not to take it. Okay? But the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And that's in you right now. And if we can learn how to bear, so notice now, the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace. Are you following me? Right? So this more than just don't eat this, do eat that. He's saying that the kingdom is not about what you take into yourself from the outside of yourself. The kingdom is about bringing forth the righteousness of God and the peace of God and the joy of God that you've already been given, that you've already become, that you've already been made. It's that fruit coming forth from your life. Are you with me? So Jesus said, in this manner, therefore pray. Our Father in heaven, come on now, you know it. Hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Do you realize that every miracle Jesus performed on planet earth as a man was evidence of his Father's kingdom coming from the third heaven to the earth? That Jesus was not operating as an anointed prophet like they did in the Old Testament, but he was operating as an agent, as an ambassador, as a representative of his Father's kingdom. Every miracle, every deliverance, every demon that was cast out. As a matter of fact, the one sign of Jesus' ministry that was reserved for him and him alone to signify this transition was the casting out of demons. Jesus multiplied food. The prophets in the Old Testament multiplied food. Jesus healed the sick. Prophets in the Old Testament healed the sick. Jesus raised the dead. Prophets in the Old Testament raised the dead. But this is what Jesus said, and I'm going to paraphrase it. If you see me casting out demons with the finger of God, it can only mean one thing. The kingdom of God is now upon you. We have no record of a prophet casting out a demon. But Jesus did. And he did it with the power and the authority of his Father's kingdom. Some of you remember my dear friend and brother Hiawatha Sheffield. Went home to be with Jesus. In my opinion, of course, if he had lived to be 120, I wouldn't have been ready for him to go. Such a precious, beautiful man that meant so much to me in my life. I cannot wait to see that man in heaven one day. When I say I can't wait, I mean, I'll wait another 50 years, but you know what I'm saying. Amen. I look forward, let me say it, let me get my words right. I look forward to seeing him again in heaven one day and giving him a hug. But at his funeral procession, he was a veteran and he was buried in the veteran cemetery down in Montevallo. And we left the church here and we went 459 around that way. If y'all are familiar, I know some of you aren't from around here, but 459 is a major interstate that kind of loops halfway around Birmingham. But just past the River Chase Galleria, Highway 31 exit, there's this ramp, some of you may have traveled, where you go from 459 northbound to 65 southbound. Okay? And so we were, it was the hearse. And then we were either one or two cars behind the hearse. It was pouring rain. When I say pouring rain, I mean cats and dogs, as you say, all right, as we say sometimes, all right. And those motorcycle cops, police officers that were leading the procession, this dude on a motorcycle come by me probably doing, I don't know, 70, 80 miles an hour in the rain. I am literally praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm trying to get a hold of myself. I mean, these guys, I'm like, dude, it's okay. Just slow down. We'll get there. You know, he comes zooming around us. Donald, he takes that ramp 459 to 65. He pulls out in the middle lane of 65, stops his motorcycle and holds up his hand. God bless him for real, sister, and he did. In that pouring down rain, and I went into emergency tongues then. I mean, I'm like, okay. It was the authority of the government that he represented that stopped all that traffic. It wasn't that man's hand. It was what that man's hand and who that man's hand represented. You could go all the way to the Constitution of the United States of America backing that man. Are you following me? It was his authority. It wasn't because he was a big man. It wasn't because he looked at him real mean. It wasn't because he had a gun on his hip. It was because of something the Bible calls exousia. It was because of delegated authority. That man represented a higher authority that caused that traffic to stop. Are you following me? So Jesus didn't represent a government of this world. He represented his Father's government. He represented the kingdom of God. Where does time go? Amen. He represented the kingdom of God, and he cast out those demons with kingdom authority. Are you following me? Are you seeing this? He told them to go, and they had to go. It's probably one of my favorite scenes in The Chosen so far, was when a demonic possessed man was harassing some people, and the guy that played Jonathan, how do you say his name? Rumi, I think is it. You know, he playing Jesus. And he walks up, and that demon's there, and he just, I'll lower the mic so it's not too loud. He just walks up, and he goes, out! One word. One word. Whew, that's my Jesus right there. Well, let me tell you who else it is. It's you. Because he said the works that he did, we would do also, because he goes to his Father. Because he's in his Father, and his Father's in him. I've been carrying some notes to this pulpit for months. We're going to get to it, okay? Again, are you in Christ or is Christ in you? It's yes. Is the tree in the seed or is the seed in the tree? Yes. Yes. So we say, I'm in Christ. Is that true? Yes, you're in him. Is he in you? Yes. Yes. Amen. Are you in the kingdom? Yes. Is the kingdom in you? Yes. Oh, we got to acknowledge every good thing that's in us. So now he's saying, pray that the kingdom would come, the rule of God, the reign of God, the realm of God, the resources of God, the authority, the exousia of God, that it would come. Why does it need to come? It needs to come so that the will of God can be done on earth as it is in heaven. Are you seeing it? So when we pray for the kingdom to come, where is that kingdom? It's in you. That kingdom is in you. It's not like come kingdom and waiting for it to fall out of the sky. The kingdom's in you. When we call for the kingdom to come, we're calling for the kingdom to come forth. Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Come forth. Watch this. Now, see, we hear righteousness, and righteousness does mean rightness with God, right standing with God. Watch this, though. Do you realize that when Jesus healed people, he was bearing fruits of righteousness? Remember the lady who was stooped over, right? And the religious leaders were criticizing him for healing her on the wrong day. And Jesus says, this is a daughter of Abraham. Is it not right? Let me say it another way. Is it not righteous? Righteousness and living righteously means more than just being a good boy or a good girl. Jesus inflicted righteousness on her illness. He inflicted righteousness on what was inflicting her, and it healed her body. It's the kingdom. It's the kingdom. Remember what they said in Psalm 82? How long will you judge unjustly? How long will you allow the enemy to run roughshod over God's people? How long will you sit back and do nothing? Is there not a cause? Remember what David said when Goliath was mocking God and mocking the people of God? And his brothers tried to put him in his place. You know, get back to them few sheep. You just brought cheese up in here trying to be nosy and find out what's going on. And David rose up. He said, is there not a cause? It was righteousness that killed Goliath. Are you seeing this? So we talk about the kingdom being righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. How about this? Let's say it another way. It's God using you and me to set some things right. Amen. Are you seeing this? Ooh, I get stirred up here. All right. So the kingdom's coming, but where's it coming from? It's coming from you. It's in you, coming out of you. So again, you are far bigger than on the inside than you are on the outside. Is the kingdom coming from the third heaven or from your innermost being? It's coming from your innermost being. Praise God. Can we go just a little, just a wee bit further? That was my introduction. I promise that was my introduction, okay? I started just to go here first, but amen. Let me give you this, and then we'll jump back in here next week. Are y'all getting anything out of this tonight? Now, I'm stretching you. Listen to me now. The Word of God is meant to stretch us. You don't just need to hear what you've always... We do need to hear things we've heard. If it's true, we need to hear it and hear it again. Faith cometh by hearing, not by having heard. Okay? But then there are times when... And Brother Donald gave me I probably need to let him preach this instead of me preaching it. But he said the Lord spoke to him. He went to preach to some people. He said, I want you to give these people something to chew on. And the vision, the mental picture that the Lord gave him was a baby teething, cutting teeth, right? If we're going to go from milk to meat, we got to cut some teeth. And what does a baby do to cut those teeth? Am I stealing your thunder, brother? Is they chew on it, right? And it hurts them, but they chew it anyway. So if you're hearing some of this stuff about the kingdom in you and greater one in you and the works that Jesus did, you'll do also. If you're hearing all this and you're thinking, man, that's something for you to chew on. Let's cut some teeth on this, right? Let's chew on it. Amen. Don't choke on it, but chew on it. Amen. Chew on it. And because again, the Lord's trying to stretch us. He's trying to grow us, right? Okay. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another so that you do not do the things that you wish. One translation says so that you do not do the things that you would. So the idea is that it creates a logjam in your life so that you're not making any progress. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. And he goes through that, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, also known as losing your temper, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. So it's not an exhaustive list. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. I've explained this before. I don't want to go through it again, but inheriting the kingdom of God and going to heaven when you die, not the same thing. Inheriting the kingdom of God, again, where is that kingdom? It's in you. The kingdom of God is in you. It's Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, and the kingdom is in you. So to inherit the kingdom, inherit means to possess, to hold in your hands what belongs to you as a child of God. So that righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit can be in you, but you not experience it as long as you're living by and for your flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit. And if you're born again, that's where your life is. Your life's in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Do you see the connection there between make the tree good and the fruit good? If we live in the Spirit, let's let the Lord help us and the Holy Spirit help us and the Holy Word of God help us not walk in the flesh. Because somebody who lives in the Spirit walks in the flesh is giving mixed signals. They're a good tree presenting bad works, which looks like bad fruit. Are you following me? So if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Amen. I'm just waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell me what I need to do. Praise God. I'm going to touch on this and then we'll come back to it. I know some of you are excited about football season right around the corner. Some of you could care less. Okay. But if you understand football, you understand that on the field at the same time is an offense trying to move the ball forward, and there's a defense that's trying to prevent the forward movement and, if possible, even push the other team back. Are you following me? And that's just, you say, I don't understand football. You don't have to understand football to understand that. So one team on offense, they got the ball and they're trying to move it forward. They're trying to march it down the field. The other side is trying to stop the progress and, if possible, even push them backwards. All right. So if you can understand that, that kind of gives us another way of looking at what he's saying. You've got the desires, the lusts of the Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit of God inside of you, who wants you blessed more than you want to be blessed, who wants you living life God created you to live more than you want to live it yourself and more than you even understand about how to live it. I mean, his desires, his love, all this, that he's pouring out the love of God inside of you. He's pouring out the wisdom of God, the potential, all these other things, right? It's the desires of the Holy Spirit. They're like the offense. And the Holy Spirit inside your born-again spirit, longing, lusting, desiring, lusting in this sense is a good thing, wanting to move your life forward into the things that God has for you. Now, you've got then the flesh. And it says that the flesh lusts against, in opposition to, just like the defense is trying to stop the forward progress of the offense. Now, your flesh would be like the lust and the desires of the flesh. What your flesh wants is trying to stand in the way of what the Holy Spirit inside of you wants and desires. Are you seeing this? And that's what he means. They're contrary to one another. The offense and the defense, they're going against one another, trying to stop one another. Your flesh is trying to stop your born-again spirit and the Holy Spirit inside of you. Holy Spirit inside of you is trying to push forward and push past these things. Are you seeing it? So they're contrary to one another. And that's what he means, so that you could not do the things that you, stand with me, that you will or that you wish. Meaning neither side, you know, the defense isn't pushing the offense backwards any, and the offense isn't pushing the defense forward any. They're just kind of this log jam. Are you seeing it? Okay. So what do we need? If your soul, your mind, emotions, and will teams up with your born-again spirit, it becomes like the running back no defense can stop. Are you seeing this? But if your soul teams up with your flesh, it becomes the linebacker nobody can get past. Are you, like Will Anderson comes to mind, you know, a whole bunch of others, amen. Do you see this, right? Because the soul, set your mind on the things of the spirit or set your mind on the things of the flesh. If the more your mind, emotions, and will are lining up with and siding with, and we do this by faith, right? We believe what God says, and we say yes to what God says, and we think and set our mind upon these things, confess these things, meditate on these things, right? Now, this is how you make progress. This is how you move deeper and deeper into the life that God has for you. Yes, are you seeing that? Okay, we'll talk more about it next week. Father, thank you for our time together. Thank you for loving us and helping us. Thank you, Lord, for making things simple enough for anyone to understand, embrace, and apply to their lives, Father. Lord, thank you for all that you've given to us. And Jesus, you came to make complicated things simple. And so, Lord, I thank you that you are taking the complexity of the eternal and presenting it to us in a way, in our own hearts and minds, that we can live it out and walk it out right now. Lord, we're not waiting till we learn more to try and do it. We're going to start right now, moving forward in these things, making progress in these areas, bearing fruit, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Know that you love. Thank you so much for being here this evening. You have a blessed rest of your